Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening on a Tuesday. The Bravos come up short in game one. It's a doubleheader, so they'll play again this evening. We'll talk about that coming up also.
But, I can't tell you real quick if you want me to hold it or tease it. I'm sorry. I always blow it when you're ready to tease something. There's a pitcher in that game who was put on the DL.
You're kidding?
Yeah. Max Fried.
No. Don't hold that.
All right. 10-day deal. We were going round and round with a lot of listeners that are saying we're being too hard on the youngster. He's 24, for God's sakes. Anyway, 10-day DL, another injury. Max Fried left groin strain as he was either trying to make a play or get out of a comebacker that was coming back pretty fast earlier, and he came out, Allard went in, and then the wheels came off.
Yeah, didn't he just come off the DL?
There's always a lot of nagging injuries with Max Fried. That's what makes him so exasperated.
Now, this one was not his fault, as we said. Yeah. It was one of those fluke plays, but still. Yeah. All right, more about the Bravos coming up as they try to really take a series that's very important. I mean, when we talk about, you know, stretches of the season, people say, oh, April doesn't count. It does. May counts, June counts, but guess what? August counts. And when you start talking about September and maybe having a 5, 6, 7 game lead on a team that's chasing you with head-to-head competition right now, this is a big deal. So we'll get more into it at 5:20.
All right, guys, Falcon Report, couple of things that we talked about, and you'll hear our conversation with Dave Archer a little bit later in the show, 6:20 for the re-air on that one. But Arch was telling us earlier today about some of the complexities, or not that complex. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out a way to get some of these receivers open with all the mismatches we may have out there this
year.
Yeah,
and Mike, remember I mentioned this a couple of days ago when I said we're going to see Sanu in the slot a little bit more, mm-hmm. I think. Not down the field. I think that'll be rotating. You'll see Hardy, you'll see Calvin Ridley, and Sanu and others, but I think when we get into the red zone, the premise for me is very simple. When you start talking about Sanu and his size, Sanu is, what, 6'3"? And here's a guy that, from a body frame standpoint, usually is going up against guys in the slot that aren't as big as he is. So if you want a bigger target across the middle, and then, you know, again, you can put Hoop out in there as well, and maybe you're doing some pick plays or crossing routes or whatever. But I just think that's one of the things we're going to see, and Archer was talking about that today, saying that there are a lot of things that they're practicing. I don't know when they implement them in the game.
When you see, especially for Falcon fans who are out there this summer to watch camp, and you see Calvin Ridley and Sanu and Julio, you're saying to yourself, self, and Austin Hooper for that matter, there's got to be more than 21 touchdowns out there in the throwing game. Because that's where we went last year. We talked about a big part of that, Matt, going from 38 to 20. Also the fact that, you know, the red zone, I don't have to tell you guys. But what about this, Calvin Ridley or Sanu for more touchdowns? You think Ridley maybe becomes a bigger playmaker in this offense?
Because
you can put him anywhere.
You can. I would ask you, more touchdowns from Julio or Ridley?
Well, I mean, you know, how about this? Well, let me throw this one at you.
Well, throw one at me.
Counterpoint. How about double-digit touchdowns for number 11?
I'd love to see it.
I mean, if these things are all happening, all these things we're telling you guys, then we're going to be back with maybe a game or two at home in the playoffs.
Well, Julio, by the way, and I want you to hear him say it, not me, talking about he feels really good, but he talked about, you know, the red zone, the lack of red zone targets. And we've talked about it, Mike, but he was asked about it, and here's Julio's response.
We never want to force the issue because I have, you know, the utmost confidence in the guys in the red zone. You know, we're kind of a run-heavy team, especially if we're going to get two safety split safeties down there in the red zone. You know, Tico, Free, they're going to run the ball in. So it's not pressing the issue. You know, everybody like, oh, you need more red zone targets, you need this, you need that. You know, they looking at stats and things like that. You got to watch the ball game to see if people trying to take me away and things like that. So
Julio saying, listen, translation, right? Winning is more important, and that's fine. I think if you said, Julio, you're going to have three touchdowns, you're going to have another season of 1,400 yards, but you're going back to the Super Bowl, would he take it? The answer is yes.
Right.
But this is where, and he's right. I don't want to force it. We've never wanted to force the issue. If Julio's triple teamed, I don't want Matt trying to force the ball to him. That's stupid. But the other part of that is, and I ask this question all the time to guys, how is it that other team star receivers get the looks they get in the red zone and make the plays they do, but yet we can't seem to find a way to get our guy those same opportunities?
I mean, especially when you had Martavis Bryant flaking out at times. And how do the Steelers find that? How do the Steelers find a way to get Antonio Brown in the end zone?
Does everybody?
I'm not doing this to restoke the Julio argument. I'm just asking the question because I can never seem to get a straight answer from our so-called experts when I throw it out there.
Does anybody not know that Eli's going to throw to Odell Beckham when he's in the game in the red zone? I mean, I'm just that's where I'm at. So when
or
Julio,
DeAndre Hopkins for the Texans, or, you know, pick your guy.
When Julio says that, and I do respect his opinion about watching the games and understanding. All right, listen, they're checking me out, so we're going to do this. That's fine. But I also think, and I said this, Mike, every time we get in the red zone this year, give me one shot. Give me a shot with the big guy, and let's try to get it to him. And if it doesn't happen, fine. Let's move on and try to get it in the end zone.
Look at the Eagles. I mean, how the way the final game of the season finished up. We get in the red zone. We use Coleman, get all the way down the field. There's some goofy play calls. Matt can't connect with him on the first throw. Then you had, of course, the throw. And whether you feel Julio was mugged or tripped or slipped, you know, it just didn't seem to work. So that's why we were so adamant about putting the work in. And Matt told us on Friday how important rhythm and getting the repetition in. So, you know, all that said, we won't see much of Matt Julio in week one against the Jets here in preseason.
No, and I'll let you hear what Julio says about the preseason. Who needs it? But Dan Quinn talking about what they added or why they added stuff for the red zone.
So it's part of our Plan D program, and what we added this year was a day where it was going to be player-led. And so these are the things that, you know, the players wanted some extra time at. So one day it might be coach-driven, hey, these are the things I want you to work at. Another day it might be a group session, hey, we're going to work, you know, the rookies and some things. And then today was one player-led. So the quarterbacks and receivers wanted to get some more time working on routes, especially in the low red zone.
Okay, so player-led, other days coaches-led, but he's saying they're getting a lot more work at the red zone. I just hope it pays off. I mean, honestly, I've been hearing this all offseason, wrinkles, this, that. I just hope it pays off.
Well, we've seen certainly more work. I mean, if anything, now we've seen practice, and now practice is not open to the media and the fans, but a lot more throwing than running at times this year. Would you agree with me? I mean, Bo, you're out there the same as we are. I mean, it seems like a lot of focus, especially in those red zone scenarios, about, you know, trying to get the ball, you know, in your playmaker's hands. So, I mean, that's music to fans' ears. Hey, before you give me some more sound, I've got some of the depth chart, which is kind of curious. You and I were talking about this off the air.
My buddy
Zach Klein from WSB had this. But Julio Jones, no surprise there. Jake Matthews at left tackle. Andy LaVitre at left guard. Alex Mack at center. Wes Schweitzer listed ahead of Brandon Fusco at right guard.
Huh?
As I said, Schweitzer now, did he learn from his mistakes last year? I mean, you'll get Arch's take on that next hour. Schrader at right tackle. Hooper, you're starting tight end. Sanu, wide receiver. Calvin Ridley backs him up on that other backside. And then Devontae, obviously, and Tevin.
Now, I know they've rotated, you know, one day, and I think Fusco told us this. One day he's playing with the first team. The next day it's Schweitzer. Give me the best guy. And, you know, is this also a function of Dan Quinn doing what he does, which is nobody's won the job yet.
Right.
And I'm going to get the best out of both guys to see where we go. I don't think this is going to be decided, Mike, until preseason. Now, we both know Fusco's making a lot more money.
$12 million deal he signed for 3 years.
But if you can't get the job done, you can't get it done. And all I'm saying is I don't think Dan Quinn cares about that. That was the cost of doing business. I think if for whatever reason Schweitzer outperforms him, that's who's starting. So we'll see, but I still think Fusco is going to be the guy against the Eagles.
Now, again, guys, this is just preseason week one, Friday night. You'll hear it right here. Pregame starts at 5, right? Cinco on 92.9 The Game.
5:30.
As I said, 5:30. I got to read these memos. Vic Beasley and the other D tackle, Terrell McClain. We saw T-Mac just mollywomping people the other day at practice. He's listed over Deidre and Sinat. Grady, of course, Tack, Duke Riley, Deion, Devondre, your linebacker core, Alford, True, Rico and Keanu Neal on the defensive side for week one preseason.
All right, speaking of the preseason, what about Julio?
I get my rhythm out here at practice. You know, I'm ready. Going into my 8th season, you know, there's no different speed for me playing in the preseason and getting a rhythm going. I'm ready to go.
Damn.
You know what? Hey, maybe we all poke the bear so much he's ready to rock and roll, man.
Wait a minute, dude. You know, Julio just said, I don't give a damn about preseason. Hold on. You got to play that again, Craig. Let me hear Julio again. Julio basically said, listen, I don't need all this.
Yeah, Craig, right now, I just saw him. He's at Vineyard Vines. He's trying to order some shorts right now. I think we've shamed him. All right, let's hear more from Julio.
I get my rhythm out here at practice. you know, I'm ready. Okay. Going into my eighth season, you know, there's no different speed for me playing in the preseason and getting a rhythm going. I'm ready to go.
Hey, save that for me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Okay? Julio, I'm ready to go. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Hope so. He doesn't need preseason.
Well, hey, man. We heard from Matt and the other guys about the rhythm.
And I'll be honest with you.
Practice reps.
Well, here's the deal, though. Here's the deal, though. Coming off the injuries and him being as healthy as he says he's been in a long time, I'm with it.
He says he's as healthy as he's ever been, and now just a matter of luck. We'll know in a couple of weeks what we got. I mean, there's too much firepower for this team to put those kind of numbers up offensively. We saw it last year, period. And I also like what I'm hearing from Austin Hooper, that Hooper has put all the reps in because, you know, and by the way, we're going to know, too, if that was a right move. You know, I'm glad that Hooper's put the work in. Think about all those great tight ends or potentially really good tight ends. Let me back that off. Some really good tight ends that were in the draft last year, which we did not get in the mix because we believe in Austin Hooper.
Yeah, we talk about breakout seasons, and I temper that with, you know, what do you consider a breakout season? For example, Keanu Neal was the Pro Bowl last year. What does Keanu Neal need to do this year for you to go, okay, he's taking the next step? Do we now start talking about Keanu Neal being a guy in the best safety in the league conversation?
Right.
For Hooper, that's where I think he's got to get into that stratosphere, not the Gronks and the Kelce conversation, mm-hmm. but he's got to get into that conversation, Mike, where you go, all right, Hoop's really good and he's promising. I don't know if we had that yet. I think we all feel good about him, but I don't know if we've had that conversation where you're like, dude, you seen the Falcons tight end? We're not there yet, and okay. I think that's the jump. For a guy like Tack McKinley, 6 sacks, great rookie season. Does Tack go to 10 this season?
Right.
You know, that's what we're talking about when we say guys who have a breakout season or take the jump.
And, of course, Vic, you know, trying to see what he is. We talked about earlier in the show for guys who missed the conversation. They've already picked up the option for the fifth year. But, you know, they can also give him a contract extension going into next year if he's rocking and rolling, what we saw with Jake Matthews. So it's, in essence, a contract year for Vic, you could argue.
Hmm. All right, man. By the way, congratulations to Rico Allen, Ricardo Allen. One last thing as we talk about the Falcons, which, of course, is brought to you, the Falcon Report, by our friends at Domino's, guys.
Yeah, man. Large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only good every night of the week at your neighborhood. Domino's, get that carry-out insurance because, believe me, potholes can kill your pizza.
Ricardo Allen, how happy are you to get this deal done now that he gets a three-year $19.5 million extension?
It's been a long journey, man. It's been a real long journey, so to finally make it, man, to make it from, you know, where I come from and to make it from the bottom, man, just, you know, grinding every day I can. It was cool to know, like, at the end that I had, you know, TD and I had, you know, DQ and I had, you know, a lot of my coaches backing for me to be able to get this deal done.
Started from the bottom, now we here.
That's what he said. From the root to the fruit.
Ricardo's right, though, man. Here's a guy, what was it, 2014, Mike? Didn't make the team, right?
No, I mean, he's a guy that was drafted by by Smitty's regime, but, you know, put the work in. You know, it's kind of like James Harrison, you know, who played for those great years of the Steelers.
Yep.
He was also a practice squad guy that eventually had to work his way up. But good for Rico, as you said, we're big fans of him. We've seen some really cool people stopping by practice. Last year and years past, Ric Flair has been through. Chad Ocho Cinco was there yesterday. Meanwhile, Carl, our nemesis down in Tampa Bay, Hulk Hogan stops by one Buccaneer place with Jimmy Hart, the mouth of the South.
What are they doing, just hanging out at practice?
I'm sure Dirk Cutter loved it. But, yeah, they were down there hanging around, shooting some video and screwing around. You can go down to the Bucs website and check it out.
I still want to slap Jimmy Hart in the face. That's just me. Preseason Friday, guys.
I'm ready to go.
Me too, Julio. Oh, I mean, yeah, ready for the regular season. That's what I'm ready for.
Yeah, man.
404-741-0929 is the number. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Do you have any class? C-L-A-S-S.
I always think of Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. Why don't you call me when you have no class?
No class!
Class 72881, guys, gets texted to 72881. You know the story. It's our national signing bonus contest, and this is the word class. For the 5 o'clock hour, text it to 72881. We've given away $4,000 already just on Dukes and Bell.
22 games in 20 days. They've already played one this afternoon. What happened? It's part of our big story next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Glad to have you listening. We're going to get to our big story coming up here. Also, Dave Archer, who came in studio earlier today. For those who missed it, talking Falcons, you will hear what Dave had to say about Matt Ryan and this work they're doing with the Red Zone coming up at 6:20. You good over there, man? Came in breathing hard.
Oh, right? No, we're just playing some soccer, man. This is my fat guy cardio. This is I went to the eye doctor this morning. I got dilated, so I didn't get a chance to hit the gym this morning.
You weren't driving, were you?
No. it's in my building. I know you. Down the elevator.
I know. You get dilated. You're like, I can drive.
No, really, the eye doctor lady was kind of sexy.
What?
Israeli girl. Yeah, I'm just saying. Nice lady. Nice accent. What? I'm just made for a pleasurable eye exam.
Okay, so what was wrong with your eyes, by the way?
No, just because I had a, remember I had the floater thing? I had the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. You saw it in your eye. Nobody
yes.
else could
and
see
so
it.
So she got it out of the eyeball, so I'm all good.
So something was there. It wasn't
yes.
in your head.
No. yes, there was a tiny microscopic Terry Fox. It was in my eyeball, Carl, and I couldn't shake it. Everywhere I looked, there it would be. But no, I got that done. So I didn't get a chance to go to the gym today. So me and Bunker and Squid, just like a bunch of dorks, were playing soccer out there in the rumpus room.
It is a Nerf soccer ball, by the way, for those who are
wondering. Well, I got to, just like Andrew Luck's got to work his way up, I've got to start slow myself.
So who's Miggy?
Well, I couldn't finish, so I'm Miggy.
Okay, so who's Martinez?
That would be Andy Bunker. He's got skills.
He told me he wanted to be Gressel.
Well, I guess Squidbilly, I think he, based on his history, I think the German, he'll be Squidbilly
well,
Gressel.
Obviously, I know who's playing Brad Guzan, because Craig, you can take the gloves off. So let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is.
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Should not wear those gloves out, by the way, Craig. Okay. Big story is the Bravos, man. Unfortunately, they lose the first game of a day-night doubleheader. 8-3 was the final. But let's talk about what's going on with these Braves because Harper and Zimmerman both hit home runs. Mike, this was really a function, though, of starting pitching. Hmm. And you just mentioned it. Who went on the DL?
Yeah, Max Fried. Max Fried pulled a groin or some kind of groin injury as he's trying to either avoid or make a play on a comebacker. He had done a decent job. The book on Fried, one walk, two strikeouts in two official innings. The other was the third where he came out. And unfortunately, Coby Allard comes in, and he was just terrible. And there's no other way to describe it. Four earned runs, gave up seven hits and a walk. Later on, Venters, Carl, and Jackson, they're trying to save, I presume, Gausman for later in the series.
Yep.
But, yeah, not a very good start for Max Fried, a guy who always seems to have these little nagging injuries.
So Allard was the guy that really, you know, it started to avalanche on the Bravos. Coming into this game, guys, and we kind of talked about it, how important this series is, you know, moving forward. Because now you're talking about head-to-head competition. This is where you gain an entire, you know, if you win, it's not a half game, it's a full game. So all of a sudden now, when you start talking about this division and how it may play out, you start going, all right, we need to win these games. The Braves, that is, against the Mets and the Marlins this year are 20-7. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies versus the Mets and Marlins are 11-12 on the season. So against the worst competition in this division, Phillies have not played well. But the Phillies have 11 games against the Mets remaining. And the Mets are playing for absolutely nothing.
Right. And there could be some more. There could be some trades. You're actually seeing some action on this. Once the official trade deadline came in, there's been more moves, and maybe the Mets will be selling some more pieces off. We'll find out because they didn't actually do anything big before the trade deadline. But, yeah, man, you came into this game, what, one game out because the Phillies lost last night. So now you're back to a game and a half out, and there's the nightcap. Acuna and Snicker said he wanted to give him some rest because there's going to be a lot of games, as you mentioned in the tease. Acuna came in off the bench, but it was Ender starting when we went 0-4. So not the effort we were looking for Ender after having a nice run.
No, and he's been playing well, too. I mean, a couple of things that I thought were going to be key in this series, and one is already playing out, mm-hmm. was how the bullpen rotation was going to be managed. Okay, well, today you got in a pickle because you needed to make adjustments when Fried gets injured. So you bring in Allard, what you would have hoped, best scenario is Allard last and pitches well and deep into the game, and you don't have to blow some of these guys. So I think you got to be very careful about this because now you run back tonight, Mike. God forbid you go extra innings. You know, you just mm-hmm. you don't know how that plays out, and then all of a sudden you get to the fourth game and your bullpen is gassed. So I thought how he handled that, and I'm talking about Brian Snicker. So we'll see. And then Ender was playing well going into this series. And then Kevin Gausman, as you mentioned. Tonight it's supposed to be Sean Newcomb on the hill.
Yeah, Coby Allard and Shane Carl, not good. They provided no relief. But again, this is the worst thing. You just laid it out. Last thing you need. You need Fried to give me 6 1/3, 6 2/3. Can anybody get to the seventh inning on this club? So we'll see. Some guys hit us up on Twitter, get a little snarky that they thought that perhaps Alex Anthopoulos should have been more aggressive. I like the moves. I mean, I get it. You don't get anything from Dan O'Day because he's banged up. Darren O'Day, but you still got to see what this Gausman guy is all about. You know, Anibal Sanchez, he's probably your best starter right now, as he has been for much of the season.
Yeah, remember, I think the key thing when we go back and look at this was we didn't lose any of our top prospects in a system where we have the best minor league system in baseball. So, for me, it's a win-win. You got some arms that can help you right now. You got a starter that can help you right now. I don't see it that way. And, you know, if you wanted to think again, that one piece was the difference, Mike, that's not where we're at.
And by the way, guys, now you're getting on Max Fried. No, I mean, I'm just saying at some point you do have all these other arms. Remember, Coppola traded for everybody that was a pitcher of the last 5 years. And if you're Max Fried, you've been in the minor league since you were 18.
Sounds like you're ready to move on from Fried.
Yeah, I'm good. Well, I've pivoted from Allard, and now I'm going to swing at Fried now. So Fried's on the 10-day DL with the groin injury. How do you say groin in Texas?
Growing.
That's two syllables. Anyway, Fried is a guy that has had a shot last year, now got a shot this year. I mean, at 24, it's kind of pooper. Would you agree with me? You covered baseball longer than I have. It's kind of pooper get off the pot time, isn't it?
He's pooping.
You got to contribute it. Now I don't get you for 10 days.
I mean, you're going to use that analogy. I'm just going to tell you. Yeah, man, listen. I can't evaluate you if you're not out there. Okay? This is like guys, when you go to spring training and you go, well, you know, I want to get a real good look at this guy. If you're not pitching because you got an ailment, I can't evaluate you. So for Fried right now, if I ask Braves fans, what is Max Fried? You tell me what you think he is. Is he a solid starter? Is he an in-between guy that, you know what, I hope he pans out? Is he a guy that you're not counting on? What is he? So to Mike's point, we're not banging on him. Listen, we're not playing the Undertaker music yet. I'm not saying get him out of here, but I am saying I got to evaluate him, Mike. And right now it's been very difficult as he's going through these ailments, even though today, again, was not his fault. But it was a comebacker right at the mound.
But as we said, guys, sooner or later you got to step up. Otherwise, and you will be a player to be named later. Hey, man, the Braves will lose the first game of the this doubleheader. Not a traditional doubleheader. It's just two games in one day. Remember the old days? You actually sit and watch two games?
Loved them.
Man.
And by the way, for one price.
Right. Imagine that, guys. One ticket, two games. But now we'll see if, as you said, your pitching staff can give you a better effort and give this bullpen some rest.
All right, man. Braves lose. We'll talk more about what happens tonight on tomorrow's show. Obviously, 22 games in 20 days for the Braves. But I just think when you look at the standings, this is one of those series that you're either going to look back on and go, we blew it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If the Nationals go on to sweep the Braves, that's a huge confidence builder. And I don't know if you saw any of the highlights today, but, like, these guys are jacked. They know how big of a series this is for the Nationals to get back in the division race. The Nationals don't want to be in a situation where they're in a one-game playoff.
Right.
They just don't. So,
and you know, Colby Allard was judicious. I mean, he was the ball. It must have looked like a volleyball the way he was just grooving some easily, very easily hit pitches. The Braves right now, guys, are let's see, they are tied with the Dodgers right behind Milwaukee. So we're in the two spot for the wild card right now.
Yeah, but I just think that Mike, if we split the series, great. I'll feel at least a little bit better. We cannot go and get swept. 404-741-0929. That is the number. And again, not jumping off ledges, okay? Disappointing that they weren't able to pick this one up, but let's see how they respond. And maybe they go on a tear here over the next three games. Offense, where's the offense?
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Well, it could be worse. You could be a Yankee fan. They got swept by the Red Sox, and you got
– done.
Wasn't that fun to watch?
That's over.
Red Sox are just unbelievably money right now. Michael Kay, the play-by-play announcer, also does a talk radio show in New York, got in trouble for calling out some guys that were injured for not being out there. So they got all sorts of typical Bronx drama right now.
He got in trouble for that?
No, just some Yankee fans are upset with him, and some Yankees, I'm sure some Yankee fans were not upset with him because, again, what we just said about Max Fried, if you're not on the field, you can't help me.
Can't help you. All right, man, 404-741-0929.
He's going after Frazier, by the way, is one of the guys he was calling.
Is that who he was? Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that.
And then Frazier went in his feelings bag on Twitter. He's had some concussions, and it's been, you know, kind of milked. He's been
don't pick on me. Yankees are 9 out. This is what I'm talking about. That's done. I mean, yeah, now you get to September, guys. We're 2 weeks away basically from the end of the month, and now all of a sudden you're trying to get help. That becomes very difficult when you're not playing the Red Sox head-to-head. So this head-to-head stuff is really big. All right, we got plenty more to get to, including Mike Conti segment coming up. Also, as we mentioned, top 3 at 6 and – our man, Dave Archer, coming up to talk about the Falcons. Hey, if you're just joining us, we had a great conversation earlier today, and maybe we'll get back into this in the 6 o'clock hour. Guys are hitting us up, talking about LeBron and his off-the-court stuff, Mike. And, you know, for those who are not aware, he's got a couple of projects that are going on that one's going to be on Showtime, which is called Shut Up and Dribble. The other one's debuting August 28th on HBO, and it's The Shop. And this is that whole barbershop thing where he's sitting around with a bunch of other guys, entertainers, other professional players, and they're just talking about things that are going on in the world. But, you know, we got into this great conversation, and as I mentioned, a lot of guys were hitting us up talking about it earlier when we were saying, you know, the responsibility of professional athletes and what is it? And some guys don't want to take on this responsibility. And right. I brought up the fact that, you know, the whole when the president tweeted about LeBron and then the response, the one guy that I really was hoping to hear from was Michael Jordan. And all of a sudden, bloop, bloop, tweet pops up. And I'm like, oh, Jordan speaks. Not really. It was very disappointing to see how that response came. And we were talking about, you know, all the things that you can criticize LeBron for. The one thing that you can't is he has been off the court everything that you would have hoped Michael Jordan would have been.
Right. And I think it was Michael's a spokesperson for Michael said, like, that a boy, LeBron.
Yeah. You know, bloop, bloop, thumbs that up.
Yeah, so we'll get into
should've
that.
Should have gave him a smiley face.
Yeah, because, Cronin, we had the conversation. I mean, there are two things. People, they never want to see the sports and social issues or whatever a cause intersect. And some say it's unavoidable. And it's some say that, you know, athletes should take that that role on. It's a joyless, thankless role because not many guys want to do it because they don't want to mess their brand up. Michael Jordan, for instance.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when you have the platform that Mike had, and this is spilt milk. You can't cry over it now. But this is why I commend LeBron for doing what he's doing in so many areas. I mean, we could talk about the school. That's a whole different deal.
Right.
You know, when you talk about at-risk kids and kids not even being able to get to school, and then not only am I going to pay for this school, but if you make good enough grades, I'm going to pay for your college. That's on a whole nother level. So we can get into that. But just the idea that guys are woke, that they're socially conscious enough to say, it's my responsibility and I'm willing to take that on. You said some guys just want to smoke cigars and play golf. So be it. But I also think that the guys who do this should be applauded. Mm. And, you know, we are in the age of social media, and I think about some agents of change, like we talked about Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown. This is in the 60s. They did it without social media.
Right.
They had a movement of things that mattered to them that helped change society for the better. And we've got guys that are making $25, $30 million who don't give a damn.
They're more worried about what people are saying about them creating ghost accounts on Twitter.
That's true. So
we had this in depth earlier. Forget if you listen for all 5 hours, we appreciate that. Tell your friends. But we were talking about it earlier. I just think nowadays, I mean, we're so polarized. There's so many people. We talked about it with our Twitter ourselves. You know, you can't get any common ground. So if you're an athlete who goes and makes a statement, you get ostracized, and not everybody wants to get up there on that cross because no other players seem to have your back. That's why it was kind of cool to see LeBron. You know how things went over the week, and the people that did have his back.
More to come, man, including what is going on with Mike Conti. In case you missed it, next on Dukes and Bell.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
It is time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti. When I hear that, Stewie, what? I'm very busy right now. It does remind me of you, by the way.
Because I often sound like that.
In the bullpen, yes. Yeah.
It's like, no, I do.
It's like
I own that.
What?
No, I own that.
A lot of stress in Mike's life, man. He's the hardest working man in the business.
Well, I don't know about that.
Can we hire some more people? Go ahead, Mike Conti. What's going on today?
I'm glad that I have no, you know, my only responsibility literally is to be here at 2 o'clock. That's about it.
Oh, that must be nice.
You've got all these other things you've got to deal with, and networks and advertisers and all this stuff.
As I tell our boss all the time, I am very, very grateful to be put in the opportunity where I can do these things.
Right.
It truly is a dream job. People who are out there digging ditches, have it 10 times harder than I do, so it's really not that big a deal. By the way, I just saw on PTI a moment ago. Remember we were talking about the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team that refused to play in Washington?
The league
made them forfeit that game.
So they lost.
They were made to forfeit. And I as I look at this right now, Las Vegas Aces playing in Atlanta tonight. So down at McCamish Pavilion.
Yeah, they're here.
Hope they got a lot of rest.
Well, I do too. And I commend those ladies for standing up for, again, they had to travel like 25, 28 hours or whatever it was. Mike Conti had the story.
Canceled flights and thunderstorms and all that.
I agree with their premise. But and WNBA's got to get that right.
Yeah. No doubt. Let's talk about some athletes that are beefing with radio hosts.
Uh-oh.
I don't really know if we have a 92.9 host on athlete beef in this town right now. I don't think we do.
You know, there's a lot of Julio fans who like to see him beat up Carl and I.
This is true.
Yeah, but like Julio has not called you out directly, right?
No, he's not.
I don't think we've really had a solid beef since that Al Horford-John Fricke beef. That was a weird one. Like when,
I'll tell you
when,
what, Horford, you go back to the Dominican. I'll fly you there.
Wait a minute.
Wow, Fricky said that?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about, Al Horford?
Remember him saying, oh, yeah, no. Fricky Al Horford calling out Fricky in the AJC? I'm making that all up. But it, but
I said, how about scoring some big buckets with the games on the line, you big doofus?
It's really funny to think about.
Yes,
right?
It is.
And it does happen in some other. In fact, in New York City, mm-hmm. right now, this is going on. We have an athlete on radio host beef. The host is Michael Kay.
Okay.
And the athlete is Clint Frazier of the New York Yankees. And what's mm-hmm. interesting about this, Michael Kay is the play-by-play announcer for the New York Yankees.
Right.
Okay, he does the Yankees games on TV. And the other day, he was giving a radio interview. Guess this was Monday, when he was talking about how the Yankees took a four-game sweep at the hands of the Boston Red Sox. And Michael Kay was upset because some of the Yankees regulars were not able to play in the entire series, including Clint Frazier.
Mm.
Here is the clip that has Clint Frazier very upset.
I mean, when you're playing Luke Voit and Shane Robinson in important games, you know, shame on the Yankees for not having the depth, but again, shame on guys like Jacoby Ellsbury for not getting healthy. Shame on Clint Frazier for not getting healthy.
But
again, you can't make them get healthy, but if those guys are available, it's a completely different animal.
Okay, and I don't know who was stepping all over him. Isn't Jacoby Ellsbury out for the year, by the way?
I think so.
Can we find that out today?
Yes.
So a Twitter provocateur goes on and says, hey, Michael Kay just said shame on Clint Frazier for not getting healthy.
Right.
Michael Kay was very upset. He said, oh, he was only being facetious. Stop it, provocateur. And that's when Clint Frazier saw it and jumped in on Twitter. And this is what Clint Frazier said. Michael Kay, facetious or not, I don't appreciate what you said today. I'm doing everything I can to get healthy so I can play symptom-free. So steer clear of publicly calling me out for not when we haven't even had one conversation about my concussion this year. Hashtag shame on you, bro.
No, they don't listen.
Well, I mean, but if somebody is poking the bear, if somebody, you know. If
I would point out there was a Twitter provocateur that.
There always is, though, in these situations, right? I mean, honestly, you know, he doesn't have to respond. He could have just heard that and went, yeah, whatever.
You could have brought it up with him and he sees him in a locker room.
But
or a clubhouse,
he felt moved enough to do that. You know, I think when you have these situations, first of all, they're fun. Secondly, that's just me speaking. Secondly, for every one of these guys who tells us they don't care, okay?
Right.
Obviously, they do. And I've been saying this to Mike for a long time. The idea that, you know, we talk about guys and, well, I don't think they care about – they care. Their people care. Their friends care. Their girlfriends care. Somebody cares enough to it to get back to them. But here's the deal. So has Michael Kay apologized, and should he?
Not as of this moment, no. At least that I know of. And if someone wants to text us and let me know otherwise, go ahead. But as far as I know, no, there has not been an apology.
All right, let me ask you this, Mike Conte. It's in case you missed it with Mike Conte. Mike Bell. He's talking about a guy getting on the field. He didn't say anything bad about his wife, his kids. He didn't take a personal shot at a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk about his hairdo. He said, we need you to be back on the field. What's so wrong with that? People are so damn sensitive.
Well, of course
I'm tired of it.
I mean, like there used to be a day. Well, we didn't have the social media.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think – maybe guys are always candy asses. We just didn't know it, Carl.
Mike, to that point. When John Fricke got into that beef with Warren Spahn, you know, there was no social media then.
You know, it was I, by the way, real quick, just want to set the record straight, and we're going to have these features soon this day in Fricke history. Carl, it was I who coined the phrase, Spahn insane and pray for rain. I did that.
Yeah, and then they got into a huge beef.
And then Warren Spahn was upset because he thought that was demeaning the other members of the Milwaukee Braves pitching staff.
John was very upset that he could not go a full nine innings against the Washington Senators one day, and it blew up into this huge beef. It was terrible, you know? It's like the time that he called out Dr. Naismith.
Well,
he had that big beef with Dr. Naismith.
In my defense, he did not take well when I suggested that we put a hole in the bottom of the peach basket.
No.
Did he speed up a little bit?
He did.
You realize you'd have to get up on a ladder and get the ball out of the basket, and some games we'd score 6 points.
There were more than a few telegrams sent by provocateurs trying to stir up that beef. We're making most of
that up. You know my first cell phone number was, Carl?
You had a cell phone?
It was three. It was Alexander Graham Bell, Marconi, and all.
So, hey, that's Clint Frazier. By the way, do you think Michael Kay was being facetious, hearing the context of what he said?
No, he was not being facetious. He was calling a guy out.
I don't think he was either.
Facetious when you go, I mean, I guess it's not his fault. I mean, there's a way to, there's a tone you try.
Yeah, but I didn't hear it either.
Like, people go, he owes him an apology. For what? Dude, get on the field.
I'll just move on from there because I can make a general statement about the sensitivity of many professional baseball players in this town and elsewhere.
Okay.
But I don't want to go down that road because that'll get some people upset.
Oh, that, I'd like that.
Come
Mike
on, Mike. Go
I'd
down
like
that road.
Mike
go
Conti.
For it.
No.
Mike Conti, speak your
do
mind.
It. No, I'm
do
good.
It.
Do it.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Come on, Conti.
Another athlete on Radio Host Beef is going on in Denver right now, and it's in football.
Right.
Marquette King. Very outspoken, fun, Pat McAfee wannabe punter, okay, for the Denver Broncos. Played for the Oakland Raiders, now with the Broncos. Friday, 104.3 The Fan is out of training camp, and they get Marquette King on their show, out of training camp, live. Yeah. And according to a transcription, there hasn't really been audio made of this, but Marquette King was giving a lot of kind of short, terse answers,
right,
not really playing along with the interviewers, one of whom was Brandon Stokely, by the way, who used to play in the NFL.
Mm.
Being that he is such an outspoken, kind of fun guy, the radio host thought he was being rude. So the one of the hosts, whose name is Zach By, said after they got rid of him, of course, because you never say it when he's on, that he was not impressed with King's attitude and that he wanted him to be, quoting here, halfway professional. And then he said that King was frustrated about being on the radio, and he thinks that's why King was talking about a lack of oxygen in Denver. So Marquette King finds out about it and tweets two emojis at the radio host the next day. One of the emojis, I'll just say it, it's not dirty. It's an eggplant, okay? Tweeted an eggplant emoji.
Okay.
And then an emoji of a head. A human head and an eggplant.
I get it. A blank head. I got it.
Right.
An eggplant head?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I guess that's a big affront to the radio host. I mean, eggplant is a very good vegetable. I don't really know what the problem is.
I'm just thinking the movie True Romance right now, Carl. The scene with Dennis Hopper.
Here's
and,
what's funny
to me. Walker.
I love it because guys are going to the emoji game.
Right.
You could have just said it.
By the way, Mark, real quick, just for some background, guys who don't know, Marquette King is a former Raiders punter that crews. I don't need my punter trying to be Johnny Carson, so you're out of here.
Right.
And now he's in Denver and apparently making friends over there now.
So he gives the terse radio interview. One of the hosts on the radio station is then called an eggplant head by Marquette King. The guy who he was called out by then responds by saying that Marquette King was incredibly disrespectful and rude. So then it all bubbles over yesterday at Broncos training camp, where apparently Marquette King approached some of the members of this radio station, 104.3 The Fan, and he had to be pulled away from them by Broncos PR before things got out of hand. So there is a legitimate punter on radio host beef going on right now in Denver, Colorado.
So what did the radio host do?
He ran?
Actually, he didn't back down. He was like, what you going to do about it?
Oh, nice.
He told him, what you going
to
do about it?
That's
what he said. He said, what you going to do about it? And that's when PR stepped in and
I like that. That's what's up.
Don't make yourself the story.
What do you mean? This guy approached him. But here's the thing, Mike. You can't punk out because then you look like every other cheese ball.
But he approached him.
Marquette King said, keep my name out of your mouth. He said, what you going to do about it? That's what was quoted in the ESPN article.
Ooh. You don't like that?
Maybe in the parking lot.
Not in front of everybody else?
No, I just think that's making yourself the story a little bit.
Meet me in the parking lot.
Now,
and then the radio guy said, catch me outside.
Catch me outside.
It was Marquette King that escalated this with the eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
But,
and the head.
And the human head.
Marquette's a Macon guy, but he went to Fort Valley State, by the way, down 75 way.
Yes, Mike. He's one black punter in the NFL. Conti, great job, man.
Is that how Reggie Roby would have handled it, Carl?
I agree. Good stuff.
Just remember the cautionary tale of John Fricke's beef with Honus Wagner.
I told him, I said, I'm sorry I didn't bench you in Tinker's Ever's the Chance. You're not part of the double play combination.
There's a kid right now in the car going, Dad, isn't Honus dead?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.